join the big conversations here as we continue to raise awareness during our Mine Action Awareness Week. And this is our second episode of the segment as we inch in closer to Friday, the 4th of April. On the 4th, South Sudan will join the rest of the world to observe World International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action. Yesterday, we spoke to Zerudin Sukanovic, Chief of the UN Mining Action Service here in South Sudan, as well as Jurkuch Baraj, Chairperson of the National Mine Action Authority.
Yes, and so today we move the conversation, and joining us are three ladies whose professional work has actually positively impacted lives of the ordinary South Sudanese as they ensure that safe future starts here. Now, in the studio, we have Ita Betty Lowella, who is a risk education and operations advisor at United Nations Mine Action Service, UNMAS. And I want to say you are most welcome to Radio Meruaya this morning.
Thank you so much for receiving me.
Yes, we also have more with us. We have Agnes Chandia, the deputy team leader, Sevlen Global. And you are most welcome to Radio Meruaya.
Thank you very much for receiving.
Yes, we also have Abouk Makur, Edi Mayana, Adanis Refugee Council. Good morning, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for the reception.
Yes.
Wow, they're all ladies, by the way. So you're the only man in the studio.
Yes, apparently I'm the only man out of the four ladies here. Yes, good to have you here, ladies, and you are most welcome. You know, you people are actually, you are the people on the ground who do the work actually, and it is considered to be very, very, very risky. But I'm so much surprised, ladies, doing the most risky job. Now, tell us a bit more about what made you choose to be in the demining.
Starting with you, Ita.
Thank you very much. As you all heard, my name is Ita. Mm-hmm. Growing up from the refugee camp, I was always passionate to serve my community. So when I returned to my hometown, which is Yei, I saw people working, but I don't know what it was exactly. But then good enough, there was one of my neighbor who was a deminer. So I had a conversation with him. I said, what do you really do? Then he explained to me exactly what they do. Then I said, why not? I should go for this, because this can make me serve my community, because I'm always passionate of serving my community. So then I was looking around to see the adverts and so on. Good enough, in 2007, yes, there was an advert for only female deminers.
Aywa.
So I took my application. Unfortunately, I wasn't taken.
Oh, dear.
I wasn't taken. But I still have that hope that I must be a deminer.
Mm-hmm. You did not stop
then
there.
Then during the day of the interview, I walked up to the NPA camp, which was in Logobero. Mm. So when I walked there, they are calling people inside the fence to go for the interview. Fortunately enough, some of the ladies who were shortlisted did not turn up, because their husbands not allow them to join the job.
Oh, no.
So I got that opportunity to join the job.
So you were not married then?
Yes, I was from school, fresh from high school.
Oh, so that helped.
Yes. I wasn't married. So I was fresh from school, so I had to join the training.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I was passionate, I was happy during the training, that after that I was able to serve my community as my person was. So I was able to fulfill whatever I wanted. That was what motivated me to become a deminer.
Before we move on to some of the other ladies, so now your job is risk education and operations advisor. What does that entail?
Okay, that is good. I want to tell people that demining is not all about removing the danger from the ground. It also paves ways for other opportunities and growth. Yeah, because I told you I came from high school, right? So when I joined demining, I only had a high school certificate. But with the demining, I was able to work and support myself. I joined the university when I was a deminer. I started as full-time student, then I also changed to be distant learning because I wanted to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So when NPA left, I still joined DRC when I was doing my degree course. Yeah?
Yes.
So when I was doing the degree course, then UNMAS put that advertisement. Because I was almost graduating and I put my other transcripts, then I was taken to this UNMAS job.
So what did you study?
I studied human resource management.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then now I'm still studying.
Mm-hmm.
So UNMAS have given us an opportunity to study, and they are paying part of 50% of my tuition. Yes. So that's an opportunity for me, right?
Yes.
If I didn't take that opportunity from the start to become a deminer,
to serve the community,
I would have been here, right?
Yeah.
So I'm now doing my master's in international studies, and that is because of my demining, and I'm proud of it.
Awesome.
Good, good. Let's move on to the rest. Chandia is here. We also have a book. I mean, how do you ladies take off this risky job?
Agnes, how did it start for you?
Yes, mine started when we were also in the school. I heard that my uncle died of lineman's. So when I came to EAS, my friend said, Ita, we joined together with her, the same badge with NPA. That is Norwegian People's Aid. So I came, I heard that they are recruiting the miners. I said, I want to go and save the life of people because my uncle died because of these lineman's. So I need to go and work and save the lives of people. So my target is to save the life of people. And when they come, our village was contaminated by mine. I say when I join this demining, I make sure I take people to my community to remove those line mines so that my communities will come back to the place. That's my first priority, to become a deminer, to save the life of other people and make sure my community is free from line mines.
Wow.
Thank you.
A book.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, you know, demining is not that risky as people may think. Yeah. And
wait a minute, it's not that risky.
It is.
No, it's
then
it's
not. Why are you demining?
Okay, go
not
ahead.
Risky.
Yeah, I've joined demining definitely because I've witnessed dramatic causes or dramatic losses and pains caused to the people of my country. I definitely joined for the purpose of saving my people from landmines, because I've seen so many people dying, and you know, when I was in school, I never dreamt of becoming a deminer. It has never been in my dream of being a deminer, but because of the dramatic causes, you know, caused by the landmines and an explosive ordnance, that's why I chose to be a deminer, just to save my people.
Okay, lovely. You talked about how it's not as risky as people assume. What did you mean by that?
It's not risky because, you know, before you could join, people think that when you go and you touch the mine, you know, it will explode with you. But no, if you have the experiences and the skills when you trained, of course, you cannot just join before training. You have to be trained and accredited. After accreditation, that's when you become a deminer. But definitely when you're trained, you'll always know and also know what you're going to do, because you cannot go without any knowledge. Of course, you're going and know what you're going to do. So that's why I think it's not risky, because you know what you're doing and you're trained of what to do.
Okay, let's talk about the specific trainings that you get from your organizations before you embark on the demining.
There are basic skills, you know, basic skills, like when you go, you're trained, you know, there are some procedures, like when you encounter mines, what to do, you should not approach the mine. Mm-hmm. There are some procedures you do before approaching the mine, and even on detecting, we have detectors, you know, detectors that guide us, you know, like when you go with a detector, you have to search, and after hearing any sound, you always treat that sound as a mine. You don't think of the other metals. There are other metals, but any metal that you find, you will know that one is a mine, and you will treat it with precautions.
Okay. Anyone with a success story, because clearly you've all been able to go to the field and demine, you're all deminers. Would you like to share a success story that that you felt and has grown with you over the years?
Yes, thank you. I think I've shared part of my success story.
No, for like
for the community, right?
Yes, for the community.
For the community, when I was, we are demining along the Juba Yei Road. I think most of you saw us female deminers there. So after the
when
clearance,
was
it was 2011.
Okay.
Yes, 2011. And then after that clearance, we handed over part of the land to the community. And then from there, I was taken to a mobile team, survey team, from demining to a survey team. Fortunately enough, when that land was completed, the other part, we came back to hand over officially now all the portion of the land that was cleared. In that process, we engaged the National Mine Action Authority, the community leaders, and then the landowners. So before that land was cleared, it was contaminated with landmines, anti-personnel landmines. Mm. So even when we came there for this, for before the clearance, when the surveyors came there, the owners of the land want to farm. But when they were stopped, it was like a lot of pulling of rope and here and there. But then we had to talk to them, and then they agreed for the clearance. But after, when we came now, like I said,
to hand over,
mm-hmm. I was so happy because the whole place was farmed with groundnuts and maize. And even they brought for us some to test. Yeah? And the dry ones, even the landowner said, I have for sale. If you can buy this or tell any other person to buy this maize or a genus of mine, because this time I think I'll send my children now to study in Yei. They are studying here, but these schools are not all that good. But in Yei, the schools are better. So I can be able to take these children of mine to school now that I can farm on this land and I have got this produce. Mm-hmm. That made me happy because at least they have benefited from that land which was contaminated before. So I felt good. I felt like I have served my community. Mm. Thank you.
All right. Talking about this Mine Action Awareness Week, and you know, people are actually called to be very vigilant and careful. And I want us to understand words of advice to ordinary people who encounter this explosive or the UX source every time and then of their lives. Sometimes people see them as ordinary objects and they don't take them serious. I mean, what do you tell the people, Chandia?
Yes, my advice to the ordinary people outside there, for them, they don't identify whether this is an object, whether this is an explosive ordinance. Mm. So when they encounter any suspicious object that they don't know, they should not touch it. They should not move where the object is. And then thirdly, my advice to them is they have to, be safe by not touching it. If they want to report to the local authority, they have to put another sign so that when they take the local authority there, so that they don't forget the place of the unexploded audience where it is. Like they can put the local signs. Our EOR team always telling them to put the local signs.
What is that acronym? EOR? Is it EOR team?
Explosive Audience Team.
Okay.
Yes. And then They also call this education team explosive, just like that we can call them. They have very many names. Eternal is better how we call them. So they are trained to put the local signs, like when they can tie grass so that no one can cross there. They can even put small stones around that object that they did not identify. Also, they can put tons where when they inform so that they can take the local authorities there. And they have to report. They should not remain silent with it. They should go to the local authority. What do I mean by the local authorities? We have the chief around. We have the police. We have the militaries. They can report to them so that these people can report to other people so that that object is removed away from them. Okay. So when the team go there and find it is an exploded audience, and then the team will task, and then they will remove it out from there. That is my advice to them. They should not touch anything that they don't know. Okay. They should not move it. That is my advice. Thank you.
I mean, you've all had experience with demining, and over the years you've seen successes like the story that was shared by Ita. What are some of the challenges that are still there that are affecting, the progress in terms of freeing South Sudan from mines, landmines?
We still have a lot of challenges that are still facing us, like a lack of funding. As we all heard that most of the NGOs, that is non-governmental organizations, they are affected currently. Like MAC, majority of them now they are home. We have a group for security, that is G4S, they are also affected. Many organizations are affected because of the funding. We don't have enough funding to fund us to do this clearance in the areas where they are contaminated. Secondly, we also have areas that have bad roads. we don't have access to reach those areas, especially during the rain season. When we start clearance, rain starts, team, yeah, we draw from there. Yeah. So those areas are still contaminated with this unexploded audience and the line mines. So we don't remove them because of the road access. And we also have some communities outside there that are very harsh. They don't allow the team of clearance to be in their areas. They think that the team are there to grab their lands. But we are not there to grab their lands. We are there to clear their lands and give the land back to them. Mm-hmm. So when they become harsh, you see clearance becomes difficult, and then the team will withdraw from there and come back to Juba. So those are the challenges that we are facing during this clearance. So I'm urging community outside there, they should always be with us.
All
so
right.
Thank you. Someone can also add the challenges that we are really facing.
Well, if we start talking about challenges, there'll be so many as our time is spent. Let's now just speak to women in 30 seconds each. How would you advise women who may be interested in becoming deminers?
Yes,
you,
Abuk.
I would like to advise the women who are willing to join the demining. They should not think that demining is complicated as people are thinking outside. I have to repeat it again. They should have the courage, you know, and learn and to have experiences.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, Agnes.
Yes. My advice.
Add on to what she said.
My advice to women who are there, who are interested, I'm asking them if they get that opportunity like us, they have to join the demining. Because demining is not all about clearance. We, three of us who are inside here, we are not capable of doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
We now do the work that men do. We even do more better than the men,
yes,
in the areas of our
clearance
work.
Yeah.
So women should join the mining team so that they remain strong like us.
Tamam.
Yes.
Shukran, Agnes.
Yes.
And finally, Ita.
Yes, thank you very much. I would like to tell the women and girls outside there that the mining is a courageous and impactful way of serving your community. And women and girls has the strength, commitment, and resilience to make a difference.
Okay.
When you join this path, you are securing the future of your country. Let's save the future. Safe future starts here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.